From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. In town this week at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C. is Conor Oberst and Bright Eyes, touring with a new record. We're not going to webcast that show tonight, though we have done that before, maybe when you come around again. But we thought we'd bring you in and have you play DJ for us. So, hello there.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. But when we do these DJ shows, I'd love to find out what it was like listening to radio. I assume you're a radio listener when you were a kid.
Yeah, we didn't really have that great of a radio station in Omaha where I'm from, but nonetheless, there was more of like boutique local Sunday night shows. So I remember sort of staying up or setting my watch to be around.
Do you remember the first record you ever bought? Did you like saved up your money and went out to the store?
Well, I remember I had The Cure Standing on the Beach singles on cassette tape. And pretty much wore it out.
Do you remember a song that you loved from that one?
Jumping Someone Else's Train was one of my favorites.
So how old were you when you were listening to The Cure?
Well, I guess I was pretty young, 9, 10, 11. My oldest brother was really into all of that 80s alternative, R.E.M., Smiths, Cure, Replacements, Who's Crazy.
And how much older was he? You were 11, he was...
He's like 6 years older than me.
Oh, so yeah. He was in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember what attracted you to it, or was it just that it was around the house?
I don't know exactly what it was. You know, it's hard to pinpoint that. I loved it. I loved how it sounded. And I think I looked up to him a lot and was interested in pretty much whatever he was doing. So,
what else was floating around the house musically? Would your mom, your dad play music around the house?
Yeah, my father's a musician. He played in cover bands and different things.
What kind of cover bands?
Oh, they would do kind of whatever was popular on like the top 40 radio at the time, but
would
then also
do, like the Holiday Inns or something? Or
they would do like weddings and dances. And
that's fun. I mean, it really must be fun to sort of learn that art. I really admire actually people who can mimic stuff.
Yeah, that was my first actually public performance, was with my dad's band called the Manville Band. And I would think I was 6 years old singing O'Donna.
O'Donna.
Yeah.
So what else would be, what would your parents play? What'd they love?
They were into Jackson Browne, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, Paul Simon, kind of all the
1970s singer-songwriters.
Yeah, exactly.
They're good
Carole
ones.
King, yeah.
Yeah, nice ones to have under your belt. Do you have a Jackson Browne song that you have memory of hearing as a kid?
Yeah, well, the Saturate Before Using record was my favorite.
The first one, which has his image sort of on what looks like a kind of a papery bag.
Yeah.
Or a satchel or something.
Yeah, I've since then met Gary Burden, who designed all those record covers. He's a really amazing guy out in California, and has something to do with cooling an engine. Like, they put a bag of water on the cars in California back then to keep the engine cool. Some weird story. I'm probably getting it wrong, but that's what the whole Saturate Before Using reference is, I guess.
Well, let's listen to the Jackson Browne cut, the song that we want to play.
From Silver Lake.
Okay, great.
Did you see our brother? He was here the other day, but he only came to say that he was leaving. Did you see his lady? She was looking where he'd gone, but she wasn't letting on that she was grieving. She's bound to go. Perhaps she'll find him waiting for his boat in some city far away.
What I always loved about Jackson Browne, I always liked to sing in a shower when I heard his music. There's something about the way he held his notes. When you sang along with it, it sounds so good.
Yeah, it's very tender, you know, in a good way. I'm always attracted to vocalists that make me feel, I don't know, comfort somehow and soothing quality, and he definitely has that.
And that record in particular, that was, it's hard when you do a first record that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had that, you know, both that glory of having such a great first record and then having to live with having such a great record.
Yeah, that's true.
Mom and Dad were lovers of singer-songwriters. Who else did they? You're talking now. We're in the sort of in the middle 70s, late 70s. What else? Did they?
Neil Young, of course, is one of the favorites of my dad's for sure, and mine too. And with a lot of these people, you know, I knew one or two records early on, sort of from them as a child. But then when I got older, went back and sort of dug a little deeper in the catalogs and rediscovered them on my own terms.
And he's got one heck of a catalog.
That's true.
It's huge. Yeah. Pick me a Neil Young song, we'll give a listen.
Well, I like Lost in Space is one of my favorite ones. It's off Hawks and Doves, which is the record with the loud side, the hawk side with the rock songs, and then the dove side with the acoustic songs. And
that was a weird record. It was a good record, but it was, I mean, after, I think it was the one, it might have been, I think it was the one after Russ Never Sleeps, which is sort of Neil Young's resurgence for a lot of people who sort of thought he's never just going to put out another record or that I like, and all of a sudden he just did. And Hawks and Doves was a hard follow-up.
Yeah, this song is special because it has sort of a, I guess there would be sea elves or something that sing halfway through, these strange voices that come in.
And then I think he did some weird effect on his voice. You're picking Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Let's start about 2 minutes in and see if we get lucky.
They did before, out on the ocean floor, out on the ocean floor. What could be stranger than the unknown danger that lies on the ocean floor? Breakers crash on the beach, I count them like lambs in my sleep. They come at me steady, they know I'm not ready. They pound on my mattress door, have they got a big one in store? Losing you, I heard I was losing you. That's not the only thing that I got to lose. I got to lose.
I love the voice thing going on there. I'm not sure what they did. This is about 1980, so
yeah, probably tape, speeding tape up or something like that.
Yeah, they used to have this thing. It was called the Electro-Harmonics 16-second delay box. It was it was a box. It was about the size of a video cassette, a little bigger. And it had all these sliders where you could sort of take something in real time as it's playing and just go up with the slider.
Wow.
And it had a delay built in it for 16 seconds. And if you did, and it looped, so it kept coming around.
Was it had tape in it?
No, tape. This was like, they called it bucket brigades. It was actually computer chips. They didn't hold much memory, but one would dump to another and another chip would dump to another. And so that's why they called it bucket brigade. And it would be this weird, wonderful delay. It was like the first after tape. It was the first really in a box computer chip sort mm-hmm. of device, and it was fantastic. I had one for my synthesizer, and it was just wonderful.
What's
and
it
that's
called
what
again?
It sounded like. Electroharmonics was the company.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a 16-second delay, is what they call it. A nice and fancy name. They had good names for their gear, but that wasn't one of them. You have a new record coming out. Tell me the name of it.
It's called Casadega.
What is Casadega as a place?
It is. It's a town in Florida that I traveled to. And
is that the psychic place?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, tell me about this.
Well, I heard about it a couple years ago from a friend and was immediately intrigued. It's a very small town in central Florida, I guess in between Orlando and Gainesville. Okay. It has, I think, over 200 psychics, mediums that live in the town, and it's very small. When you go there, there's a hotel and a bookstore in the center of town, and if you go into the bookstore, they'll have a chalkboard of whoever's working that day and their phone number and a little phone sitting there.
And working that day mean who's doing the psychic readings?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you call them up, you know, say, come around at this time, and then just walk down the little streets, and they've all converted the fronts of their houses into their reading rooms, and just walk right in, and it's just a sort of a magical place that, you know, it has that swampy, tropical Florida feel with more run-down, you know, southern gothic experience, and of course, you know, all the psychic energy there is. I mean, I felt like I could sense it. I don't know if I was tricking myself
or hoping.
Yeah.
There's an EP out. It's called Four Winds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first song on it, I think, is the only one that's actually going to be on the new record. That's actually all I've gotten to hear. So let's share that one.
Okay.
And I'll come back and we'll talk more about the new record.
Thank you. Cadillac and company jet, like a newly orphaned refugee retracing my steps all the way to Casadega to commune with the dead. They said you'd better look alive. And now soft up old Dakota, where a genocide sleeps in the black hills, the badlands, the calloused east. I buried my ballast, I made my peace. Her four winds level in the pines. But when Grace Satan's gone, the whore of Babylon, well, she just can't remain with all that outer space. She breaks, she breaks, she caves, she caves.
That's a great new song. It's called Four Winds. It's from an EP right now. The EP is called
Four Winds.
And the LP, the CD, whatever, that comes out in at the top of April. Is that right?
Yep. Casadega, April 10th, I think.
April, that's my birthday. Good.
Oh, nice.
Nice treat. So this place, this spiritual place, did it inspire any of the songs that's actually on the record, or just was a cool title?
Well, I like the sound of the word. But also, I mean, it's not that it's a concept record about the town. I mean, I only spent a day there, but it was more the feeling I left with, some kind of peace of mind, you know.
Did they do a reading on you?
Yeah. And I mean, more or less that, you know, I was told that I'm moving on the right path, sort of in conjunction with the universe,
nice.
Which...
Can't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a matter, you know, a lot of people can tell you you're going to be all right or things are going to be fine, but it only really matters if you believe them, you know?
Yeah, there's a reassurance somehow that if someone is, and you don't know if they're in touch with some other thing, but if you believe that they are and they say something that feels good to you, there's something reassuring about
yeah.
that. Yeah. Who else is playing on the record? There's a lot of, this is a pretty big band I hear there.
Well, right now, the band is basically myself, Nate Walcott, and Mike Mogus. The three of us are sort of the core members, but then we rotate all different kinds of musicians in.
Why don't you tell me Nate's role? He came today.
Yep.
He's carrying a horn, so we know he plays horn.
Yeah, he plays trumpet. He's also a fantastic piano and organ player, does most of that on the record. And then he also wrote a lot of the string and horn arrangements. We recorded some songs with a full orchestra and a big string section, and so he wrote those arrangements and is just fantastic. And then Mike Mogus plays a lot of the, I guess, more folky type instruments, dobro and mandolin and also guitar.
Who's playing the violin on that past?
That's Anton Patzner, who's on tour with us. He's an excellent violinist.
Where'd you meet Anton?
Anton, he's from San Francisco, and he was actually playing with his heavy metal string band outside of a friend of ours' concerts, this band Cursive. They were sort of busking outside the show with cello violinist and drummer playing metal songs, and so that's how we met him.
Who else?
And then a bunch of different people. M. Ward, who's amazing. Janet Weiss, Gillian Welsh, and David Rawlings. I don't know, the list goes on and on.
There was a number of Gillian Welsh records I really love, and one of them's on your list, which is from the Time
the Revelator.
Revelator.
Yeah.
And what a great record that is.
Yeah, that's an amazing, mysterious, beautiful record.
Conor Obrus is as DJ today. Pick me a tune from that CD, Time's Revelator by Gillian Welch.
Well, 14th of April is, I think, one of the most mysterious and sort of, it never stops peeling back its layers and revealing itself.
Something, I mean, the Titanic, right?
Ruination Day, this whole thing they have. I don't know exactly. It seems to involve the assassination of Lincoln and the Titanic and some other points. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a good song to hear over and over again. Let's give a listen.
When the iceberg hit, oh, they must have known. God moves on the water like Casey Jones. So
walk downtown on my telephone. Took a lazy turn through the red-eye zone. It was a five-band bill, $2 show. I saw the van out in front from Idaho, and the girl passed out in the backseat trash. There was no way they'd make even a half a tank again. They look sick and stoned and strangely dressed. No one showed from the local press, but I watched them walk through the bottom land, and I wished I into plastic bags, and the cooks cleaned the kitchen with the staggers and the jags.
The song reminds me of a lot of things, but we were talking about Neil Young a bit. The song Cortez the Killer, mm-hmm. Dancing Across the Water. It's that wonderful melody.
Yeah.
You can sing all day long. You can make up verse after verse with a
yeah, she
melody had, like that.
She has a lot of songs that I think are like that. Some of them that do go on for, you know, 10 minutes. I Dream a Highway on that record is, I think, 14 minutes long, but you wouldn't ever know it because it's just gives you so much with each verse.
You recorded the new record that you did. You recorded last year. Well, you tell me.
Mm-hmm. It was a long process. We spent most of 2006 working on and off different studios, different cities, New York, L.A., Portland, Oregon,
Why'd
Chicago.
Why'd you do it that way?
Well, Mike has a studio, or had a studio, in Lincoln, Nebraska, and he plays with us, but he's also a producer for different bands, and right. is amazing. And we were in the process of building a new studio in Omaha, and we were moving it from Lincoln to Omaha.
I see.
And it was sort of just a transitional year and a good excuse for us to go explore and spend time in different places and, you know, record in different studios with different gear, which was exciting for him, I think.
And one of them was Portland, obviously. Matt Ward, yep. M. Ward was in one of them. I love this song. This EP has 5 outtakes on the records. I've heard more outtakes now than I have of the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Is the flavor on the EP, and I'm going to play the third cut, which is the M. Ward song, which is called...
Smoke Without Fire.
Do I get a flavor of the record by hearing the 5 outtakes and the 1-4 Winds song, or can you describe a little bit?
I don't think so, because the reason these songs didn't make the record wasn't at all because we didn't like them as much or anything like that, but it was just more, they didn't fit.
Yeah.
And so I think...
So we get an idea what doesn't fit. It's like seeing the puzzle backwards,
maybe,
inside out or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on in, my weary friend. Your welcome here is endless. These fears of yours, like painted whores, they will not stay the night. If all your life you've done what's right, don't say you felt obliged. Come along, use your timid tongue, too shy to tell your story. This pain in you, so far removed from anything you've known. So I won't condone another moan, not when everything is fine. So in a drought, learn to dance and pray the dead would return. And dream of smoke without fire. Just come see me again when it burns.
How'd you like singing with M. Ward duet? I really think it works.
Yeah, talking earlier about soothing voices or this, you know, sounds of comforting voices. Whenever I'm on a shaky airplane or anything like that, I'm always reaching for the M. Ward button on the iPod. You know, Audible Xanax.
Yeah.
It's good.
Who else?
I guess kind of on a different note, but one of my favorite all-time singers is Bjork. Uh-huh. I think she has one of the most identifiable, amazing, dynamic voices that I've ever been aware of.
Would you have an album you're in love with?
Homogenic is probably my favorite of her records. There's one of my favorite love songs is this song, Unravel.
Why only you are
So that's Bjork, and it's hard not to feel so incredibly relaxed after hearing her music. I love that. I look forward to something new from her.
Yeah, I think there's a record coming out this year, so
Oh, good.
You might be in luck.
Good. Lou Reed is somebody who's on your list, and a songwriter that fills a big chunk of my record wall and maybe yours.
Yeah, he's, talk about a career musician who's done so much different things, and lyrically one of the most inventive lyricists that I can think of.
And one thing about him that I've always found interesting, and I'd imagine a challenge for someone who's a musician making music, is how not to fall into that trap of being locked into a place in time. So, granted, you know, people think of the Velvet Underground, they think of the 60s and so forth in the early 70s, although no one listened to him back then. But he's been able to transcend and live his own life and write his own music and always stand just as himself. And it's daunting to...
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think the best sort of long-term musicians and artists are the ones that are constantly reinventing themselves and just staying a little bit ahead of their own myth, I guess. And that's it's something that's really hard to do, and not a lot of people pull it off, you know.
And you got to constantly be inspired.
Yeah, exactly. Follow your muse, you know. That's the number one rule.
Right, not your traps. Well, let's pick a cut from Lou Reed. You have a favorite era, Lou Reed, or?
Well, the song I was thinking is called "Kill Your Sons." I think it's on the
Sally Coney, Can't Dance.
Coney Island, or was it?
I think it's on Sally Can't Dance.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Which that song's great.
Which is great. The great horn section on that. You sure you don't want to switch?
We could switch. The production on that record is great.
I love Sally Can't Dance, and if I had a vote,
let's do that.
Okay, let's do that.
Says that she can't do it anymore. She walks down St. Mark's Place and eats natural food at my place. Now Sally can't dance no more. She can't get it off of the floor. Sally can't dance no more. Sally, she can't dance no more. Losing her face. She lives on St. Mark's Place in a rent-controlled apartment, $80 a month. She has lots of fun. She has lots of fun. But Sally can't dance no more. No, Sally, she can't dance no more. She went and carried on and can't get off of the floor. Now Sally, oh, she can't. She wears a sword like Napoleon, and she kills the boys and acts like a son. Sally can't dance no more.
Sally can't dance no more.
Hey, what you mean now?
Sally can't dance no more.
Sally, hey, she can't dance no more.
Sally can't dance. Sally can't dance.
She knew all the really right people. She danced with Picasso's illegitimate mistress and wore Kenneth Lane jewelry. Hey, it's trash, but
Sally can't dance no more.
Yeah,
Sally can't dance no more.
You tell me about it. She can't get herself off the floor. Hey, Sally, girl, she can't dance no more.
No more.
I don't believe it now.
So you're on tour for the EP.
For the EP, and then the record comes out in April, and we'll go on a second tour towards the end of April, probably with a slightly larger band, maybe 10, 12 people.
So you think we can web guest that show, maybe?
Of course.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So pick me a song from the EP that we should go out on, something good and upbeat?
Well, probably the best candidate for that would be Cartoon Blues, and we kind of cribbed Neil Young's funny voices.
You mean from the thing that we played
yeah,
earlier?
Yeah, yeah. So check it out.
Conor Oberst is our guest. Thanks so much for doing this. This is a blast.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, my foot fell asleep.
I didn't hear it. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
I listen to a lecture of nonsense till dawn by a plagiary poet with dark glasses on. He said, how did you ever dream up that song? The one where the baby dies. I said, I'll tell you the secret, which one's your good ear. Yeah, people are made up of water and fear. If there weren't women present, we wouldn't be here. So let's make like we're friends. And the pot turns to powder and sour the mood. And the people I come with were gone from the room. So I ask like a child, may I be excused and disobey them all. Into that late night latrine, rain soaking through my shoes. I try walking backwards to get less confused. Working off a theory I could never prove, that it was life itself to blame. In time ruin the world like a failed revolution. A tumor we could not remove. An old friend, a constant, the blues. Our distractions sit ringing in my hands. Solitaire crosswords and films on demand. When you turn from a cartoon back into a man, you start to smell that human smell. And so I sleep with the fan on to drown out the street and the noise rising up from the bar underneath. But for that inconvenience, all my drinks are free. So I guess it's just as well. Why do I envy the ending right from the start? Just get it together.